Writing in the Telegraph yesterday, former Prime Minister and President of Alzheimer's Research UK, David Cameron, announced major new funding to help develop an early detection device for Alzheimer's and dementia. They're working on producing wearable tech linked to a smartphone app. And don't worry, we'll get a bit of extra explanation as to what that is all about. Tech expert Fevzi Turkalp's with us. Morning, Fevzi.
Morning.
Good morning. Also, Dr. Carol Routledge, who is a Director of Research at Alzheimer's Research UK. Good morning to you, Carol. Oh, she'll be joining us shortly. And Professor June Andrews, who's advisor to Dementia Services Development Trust. Are you with us, June?
Yes, I'm here.
You are. You are. Nice to speak to you this morning. Well, given that Alzheimer's Research UK are the ones who are involved in this, actually, I think Carol's popped back again. Dr. Carol Routledge. Morning, Carol.
Good morning. I'm so sorry.
Oh, not at all.
But yes, I'm back again now.
Not at all. Just dropped off. I just wanted to speak to you first, just so that we could get some idea of what stage you are at with this research and what it might involve.
Happy to do that. So we're at the early validation stage. So this is a global initiative that Alzheimer's Research UK are leading. And what we're trying to do is to, build a tool device, which ultimately will be likely a wearable and an app to try and detect the diseases that cause dementia at a much earlier stage than we do today. As I'm sure you know, at the moment we diagnose dementia diseases when memory impairment becomes apparent, but that's usually late stage disease. So we need to try and move forward to detect these diseases at a really early stage. And then just briefly, we do that using clinical methodologies like brain scanning and blood tests and sampling the fluid that bathes the brain. But actually, we want to shift all that to try and do it with digital technologies, which are less invasive, less expensive, and easier for people to use.
And when we say wearable tech, what do we mean by that?
So we think that the device in the end is going to be a combination of a wearable, which will pick up a number of activities or behaviours of daily living, but also an app that one puts on the phone.
By wearable, what do we mean? Like a wristwatch or some kind of strap?
Yeah. Something like, it won't be a Fitbit, but if you're thinking something like a Fitbit or an Apple Watch, and it won't be an Apple Watch, something like that, it will be something that you wear on your wrist that can pick up a number of different physiological or behavioural measures.
Right. So, such as?
So the digital measures that we are starting to look at and we want to combine together are things like sleep, so activity of brain when you're asleep, various different speech patterns, heart rate, blood pressure, how we walk, so our gait, and that includes how you the speed you walk, how you swing your foot, how you put your foot down. I've mentioned sleep, so fine motor movement, navigation, mood, and then also we want to use certain tests that you can put onto a phone to look at memory and learning and various different aspects like that.
And would this be appropriate for people that perhaps there was a feeling that they were already developing early signs of Alzheimer's dementia, or would this be something that you might actually wear much earlier in your life when there's no apparent reason?
Yeah, so our aim is really to try and move to the asymptomatic stage. And by, asymptomatic, I mean when people don't have symptoms. I think it's really important for lots of different reasons, like, providing the opportunity for people to take, to make the right lifestyle choices and hopefully to improve the success of drug treatments to move earlier than that, so to move into the asymptomatic stage. So I think the ultimate aim is kind of to roll something like this out on an annual health check basis so that we really can pick up the earlier stages of some of these diseases.
But, if you do detect in an individual that they may be displaying, very, very early signs, not obvious signs, do you then have a treatment that they can use that is going to make it better? Or are they just going to have this knowledge that the chances are they're going to develop these, for a lot of people, quite frightening conditions?
No, absolutely. And it's a very good question. And yes, these diseases are devastating. But actually, there are a number of reasons, but two of the key reasons, as I mentioned, people can make some of the right lifestyle choices. So we know that there are a number of risk factors which are associated with both the onset and the risk of dementia. And these include things like smoking and lack of exercise and eating the wrong diet. So first of all, it provides people the opportunity to make some of those right lifestyle choices. But actually, secondly, we have tested a number of different therapeutic drug treatments at late stage disease. And they sit on the shelf. I mean, I kind of say sit on the shelf, but they don't really. But, we've tested them. They haven't shown great efficacy in late stage disease. But it would be really, really useful to test those drugs at a much earlier stage of treatment, particularly as a lot of those drugs are targeting processes that, based on research, we think occur at the earlier stages of disease. So it would be really, really useful to do that. Now, can I say those drugs would show greater efficacy at the moment? No, I cannot. But I think there is the potential that they would if they were tested at a much earlier stage. Mm.
Professor June Andrews, you see this as a productive route?
Well, it's certainly very interesting. And looking at the first idea, which is that it would encourage people to make lifestyle changes that would help delay or possibly prevent dementia, then I think even before we get our watches, it's possible for us all to do that now. Am I going to wait until I think I've maybe got dementia coming before I give up smoking and start to do some exercise? So there's a sense in which that additional benefit of an early warning does exist, but there's nothing to stop us now, before it has been invented, taking those kind of measures. I think more interesting is the idea that it might help detect people at an early stage who are possibly going to get dementia, so that they can be included in drug trials, because the pharmaceutical history around dementia is a really sad one. Things keep getting demonstrated as not being useful for dementia, and if there's an idea that you might be able to use them much earlier in order to prevent dementia, then that's a good idea. But the problem, of course, is you don't know who was not going to get it anyway. Right. So there's no point in taking something or having an injection in case you get dementia. When you don't know what difference it'll make, it's really, really hard for people. And it's hard for those clever people who are trying to find the molecule that's going to make it all better.
Yeah.
Can I just quickly intervene there?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I absolutely agree very much with what was just said. But I think the aim of this approach and the aim of this early detection tool, initially it will detect the early stages of dementia, but ultimately, based on data that we collect over a period of time, it actually ought to be able to diagnose at what stage dementia symptoms will start. So detecting disease in the first instance, but then actually be able to predict when dementia symptoms start, because I completely agree, not everybody, even if they have the disease, will go on to get dementia. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that kind of mass observation of a population is potentially really useful. The question is how we manage to get people to take part in it, and obviously this kind of publicity will help. Mm. So when eventually a piece of kit is produced that can measure all those things, then the next step will be to get as many people as possible to try it. Mm. And in the meantime, what we're going to do, the thing to do is, if you're worried, see your GP. And if you can find out what the things are that would delay your symptoms, then let's do them now, just in case you're one of the unlucky people. And let's face it, most of us don't get dementia, but one of the unlucky people who does get it.
Yeah. I mean, just to bring Fevzi in on the tech side of things, Fevzi, I mean, clearly this is a very, very fertile area for all these tech companies. Health, it relates to absolutely everybody. And at the basic level, and Carol, you mentioned it, Fitbits or fitness trackers, I should call them, because there are many, many different brands of that. Lots of people have got them. I mean, what's the kind of time scale, Fevzi, that actually we start to have very sophisticated monitoring devices that we might just wear as a watch?
Well, in terms of the hardware that we wear, be it a watch or a pair of glasses or a mat that goes under our mattress to detect how we sleep, a lot of that hardware technology is already with us, although still being developed. And your Apple Watch can sometimes detect atrial fibrillation, the most common form of arrhythmia. I read about an app that could potentially spot the early signs of Parkinson's disease by detecting micro tremors in the person's voice when using the phone, or indeed in their hand when holding the device. So the devices are already starting to exist and will only get more sophisticated. I think the real advancements that we'll see, in my opinion, will be in the analysis of the raw data that all these devices already produce, and the fact that there's so much of it, and increasingly we will be wearing these devices, not just for health reasons. I mean, we wear Apple Watches, you know, for various reasons, and other Fitbits and so forth, but the ability to take all of that data and then use artificial intelligence to study it, to look for patterns, to look for digital fingerprints, where you can actually pull together all these different strands that a human being, either themselves or their doctor, wouldn't necessarily be in a position to notice and pull together. The AI will do that and will produce a profile for each individual that says, you know, whether they have disease, whether they're likely to develop it, and as was said, over what time scale.
Yeah, and when you mentioned data, I think it's the case, isn't it, Carol, that one of the major donors to this research is Bill Gates.
Yeah, so Bill Gates has supported us and is supporting us, which is absolutely great. But I couldn't agree with the comments that we just made, anymore. The first part of this initiative is really around validating which of the digital measures are the key ones, and so we will be retrospectively analysing data. We will be analysing retrospective data, but importantly, we will be collecting digital and clinical data together prospectively. And it's hugely important that we put all of that data together to understand which of the measures are most clinically relevant for detecting these diseases. So the data piece is incredibly useful. We're working with some real data science experts like the Turing Institute, but you're right, that is I think it's doable, but that will be the difficult part.
And what kind of time scale are you looking at, Carol?
So for the first validation piece, which is really to understand, you know, which of the digital measures we want to pull together as a composite and which can pick up those fingerprints in people at an early stage of disease, we'd say about 3 years. But then is a testing phase where we want to go out into a wider population pool, and that is likely also to be 2 to 3 years. And then clearly at the very end, we have to do the clinical regulatory trials to get regulatory approval. So I guess overall 6 to 7 years. But actually, if we get some really key information early on, I think we could expedite many parts of this initiative.
Yeah, but June, in the meantime, as you say, there are measures that individuals can take, at this point in time that hopefully will keep, you know, keep them, well, whether it could stave off Alzheimer's, yeah. I don't know, yes. But there are environmental factors, aren't they, that have been acknowledged.
Yes, there are things you can do to stay as well as possible for as long as possible. And when you hear about these trials coming up, then volunteer to be one of the people who lets their data be used in this way. I'm wondering how much money it's going to cost and, what the extent of the funding is so far and whether or not the funding is there for the 8 to 10 years it might take to bring this to pass. But we should never be concerned about any efforts to try and find something that will help people with dementia, because people are just so desperate about it. Mm. I sometimes wonder that we overstate what we're going to be able to do at too early a stage. But at the same time, we must still encourage people to be as interested as they can be, because people are so afraid of dementia. But as you say, in the meantime, do all the things you can to stay as well as possible for as long as possible. You know, do what your doctor says about your diabetes and about your blood pressure. Take exercise, and for goodness sake, don't smoke, and be careful around the drinking. All these things, and stay happy. Being happy seems, according to one of the tweets I read today, having a happy partner seems to help. So I'm going to go home and make my husband laugh today.
Okay. June, thank you very much indeed. Professor June Andrews, who's advisor to the Dementia Development Trust. Thanks, Fevzi Turkalp, tech expert, and Dr. Carol Routledge, Director of Research at Alzheimer's Research UK. Sounds very interesting field of research.